Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another show of At Home with Victoria, with your host, Victoria Gaither, and co-host, Michael Kay.
That's all that matters now. All at once.
the beautiful voice of Whitney Houston. Of course, we lost her this week, and there have been so many tributes and dedications taking place. So, of course, we on At Home with Victoria wanted to mix a little bit of a Whitney Houston into our show tonight. Michael Kay, what a lovely voice. That's one of my favorite songs, too.
Yeah, no, truly a voice that would be missed, a voice that can't be recreated. But I don't know if you actually caught the Grammys, Vic, but she did, Jennifer Hudson did a rendition that was so charming and so heartfelt. It actually was not better than Whitney's version. It was actually different than Whitney's version, but still amazing, and she was very choked up. Rumor has it through my sources that she got the call around 6:30 that evening, and I guess your news sources said they found her about 4 o'clock, so by 6:30 they had contacted Jennifer Hudson trying to go ahead and get things in, and that's just through my little bit. But yeah, a voice that'll be truly missed, and it, you know, a personality as well. I mean, Whitney was lovely. I grew up with Whitney, for God's sake, Vic. You must have too. We're the same age.
Yeah, I mean, but basically no matter who you are, what your age is, if you live on, you know, this planet, no matter what country you live in, I mean, everybody knows and loves Whitney Houston. I didn't get a chance to see the tribute that Jennifer Hudson did. I heard that it was very nice. But, you know, to me, the bottom line is nobody in the world, no artist, no one out there right now, has a voice like Whitney Houston, period. And in my personal opinion, I don't even see anyone, you know, during her heyday that can even come close to her voice. But with that said, we're going to continue to play Whitney music throughout the show. Also, the bottom half of the show, Christopher Davis is going to join us, and we're going to have a few people who are going to call in and, you know, just kind of tell us their stories about Whitney and why they love her and what their favorite song is. And we're also going to talk a little bit more about the Grammys, the 54th Grammys that many of you watched, including myself. But before we get to that, Nora is with us tonight. Now, Nora is somebody that we completely love here, Michael Kay on At Home with Victoria. She is a fan. She's also a supporter. And she mentioned to us a while back that she has a nonprofit organization called Hope for Angels. And they basically try to pair kids who are sick with different artists and actors and actresses, you know, in an effort to kind of brighten their spirit. So Nora, Michael Kay is going to join us right now and tell us a little bit more about that. Hi, Nora.
Hi, Victoria. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Nora, baby.
Hi, darling.
You before we start talking about Hope for Angels, anything you want to say about the wonderful Whitney Houston? Did you have a favorite song?
She has always been a beautiful spirit, and my heart breaks for her and Bobby and the kids and her family. One of the songs, you know, that I loved from her was probably the one that you played at the start of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She left us way too soon.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. So tell Michael Kay and I how it is that you came about to work with the nonprofit Hope for Angels.
My co-founder and I, Sherry Doro, we were started with a similar organization. We were board members, and, you know, for circumstances beyond our control, they ended up going out of business, and we wanted to keep that relationship going between the families and the artists, so we started Hope for Angels in November of last year. When I got started with the previous organization, I was matched up with the most beautiful little girl named Lindsay, who lives in Knoxville, Tennessee, who has a rare form of liver cancer. I met her at about 18 months of age, and as of yesterday was her 5-year anniversary in remission, and as of yesterday, she is considered cured.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so yesterday was pretty amazing for family and friends.
That's fantastic. You have several artists actually that are on the board helping these kids out. Bo Bice is one of them as well. How'd you get him?
Yes. You know, we had sent him a message via Facebook, and he responded saying, you know, yes, I am interested. Send me the information. And we did, and it got to his management company, and they said, yes, you know, he is interested. You know, here's the information that we need from you. And we sent it, and they sent it back, and we've got Bo. We've also got Buddy Jewell, who is a country, and Christian artist also, who is a very big part of us. And another artist who you guys know very well, Shelley Rand.
Yeah.
Good. I've never heard of her.
No, really?
Oh, goodness. I talked to her yesterday. Yeah, she's going to be joining us in a little bit, too. This is an amazing organization. I want to go ahead and point out real quickly, too. If you want to, go ahead and help at www.hopeforangels.com. There's a donations button right over there. Just click donations. You can go ahead and peruse through the artists. I'm on the page right now. But fantastic news. How long has this organization been around for?
We just actually started Hope for Angels in November of last year. So we're still relatively new, but Sherry and I experienced with a similar organization where we were both board members. So we've got, you know, everything under control, and we're looking for more artists, and we're looking for more kids to join the program.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask you about the kids. If in fact a child of a parent is interested in signing their kid up, what's the procedure? What do they need to do?
All they need to do, they can contact us through our website. There's contact information, or we also have a Facebook page where they can contact us as well. And Hope for Angels is hope and the number 4 angels.com. So whatever, you know, whatever means they want to contact us, Sherry and I both monitor the website and the Facebook page daily. So we will get back to you as soon as possible, and that goes for children and artists as well that want to join us.
Fantastic information. You got Shelley Rand because apparently you guys are besties. Is that true?
We absolutely are besties. I have known Shelley for many years, and she is, as you guys know, she is just amazing. And I don't know, you know, what I would do without her.
There we go. Okay, you know what? I think I have. I'm sorry to go ahead and have a little bit of dead air. I think we have this little Miss Shelley Rand on the line here, Vic. So I'm going to go ahead and bring her up.
Go ahead. Great. Bring her in.
Absolutely. Bring her in. Sorry. Little brain fart there on my part. I'm watching too many things. This is it. You know, it's one of those things. It's my brain. I got an old brain. Plus, I went ahead and booked my whole trip for New York today. So it's one of those things like numbers and things. But Shelley Rand, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate that.
Hi, Shelley.
Hello.
Hi, Shelley.
Hello.
What's going on in Shelley world?
Oh, it's been crazy. 2011, we did about 150 dates.
Wow.
And that was mostly on the East Coast. And we're working on new music, new record. And I hope... here within the next month or so, we will be with a new management group, and just very, very excited about some really cool things coming up. And I'm
fantastic.
Sorry, I'm
Shelley, how
ahead,
is it that
there's some latency.
Shelley, how is it that we know that you and Noor are friends, but, you know, what was it about Hope for Angels that you decided, hey, I really want to get involved with this?
Well, organizations, groups like Hope for Angels, the heart's in the right place, and people in their time of need, you know, especially dealing with children, you need tender-hearted people around, and organizations that allow you to come together and be supportive of those families who otherwise you wouldn't meet, you know. Music is such a powerful thing, and I believe in sharing it. In places like this allow you to do that. They put you in touch with the people that are in need of of just some sort of, you know, contact. And like I said, music touches people's lives in ways that nothing else can. And so that's what drew me to that. Outside of knowing Nora, she's a fabulous photographer. I'm sure you all seen the her work.
Shelley is also a part of another program that we are expanding, our hospital program, where we are actually taking our artists and taking them into the children's hospitals, and whether it's playing down in an auditorium for the kids or it's going room to room with the children.
Wow.
Right. So Shelley stays at Vanderbilt. We also, our other hospital right now is Johnson City, Tennessee Hospital, and we are desperately looking for artists in that area to go and play in that hospital. So if there's any artists out there that are in that area, please contact us, and we will get you into that hospital as soon as possible.
Yeah, that's a cool thing, too. And, again, you know, it puts music in a situation that is just good medicine. There's no other way to say it. And it's not necessarily it would be anybody who can share their talent can really make a difference in their day-to-day lives in that kind of environment. And when you're fighting an illness or a disease and you know, everyone's so traumatized by it, I mean, music is just such a good thing.
Absolutely.
And yeah,
mention. I'm sorry, Shelley, go ahead and cut you off. I want to make mention, I've got my eye on the clock here. You know, I'm like a drill sergeant here, but Sherry Lyles is actually, yes, the warden's here. Sherry Lyles is in the chat room, and she's also the co-founder of Hope for Angels with Nora, so I want to go ahead and give a big Sherry Lyles a shout-out there. I can't thank you guys enough for doing what you do and everything, and I think this really deserves maybe a Shelley Rand song. I'm getting people emailing me here. This is the first time. This is why my brain isn't working right. I'm doing also the show chat, and I'm doing the emails as well. And I will have to say, honestly, people are really wanting to hear a Shelley Rand song. So I will just have to go ahead and indulge them. I hate to go ahead and hijack everything. But seriously, 71 people are asking for your song, Sally. Did you post this on Facebook? Did you tell people you were going to be on the show tonight?
No, I did.
Well, then maybe you're getting just so famous that people are writing in. So let's listen to this is Shelley Rand with I'm All Over That. Go ahead and check her out on Facebook and ShelleyRand.com. But till then, Shelley Rand, I'm All Over That.
From the color of my
red. She's all over that. She's all over that. I'm all over that. We're all over that. Apparently, you know, a lot of people are all over that song. But Shelly, Buddy, I love it. I love it. Vic, you got to love that
yeah.
song.
I know. I do, too. And for those of you that are just taking the time to join us, thank you so much for being with us on At Home with Victoria. Tonight's show, we've got two things going on. We're talking to Nora, who is with the nonprofit organization Hope for Angels. And the second half of the show, Christopher Davis is going to join us, a very good friend and journalist of mine. Grover may stop by. Sandy from Nebraska may call in, and we're going to talk about the Grammys and also talk a little bit about the Whitney Houston and why it is that we love her. Nora, tell us once again the name of the website, and, you know, just besides the name of the website, I'm sorry, I got a few people that are asking about voluntary possibilities. So if anybody is interested in volunteering, can they also find you and that information through the website?
Yes, absolutely. Our contact information, our email addresses are on the website, and we also have a Facebook page, which Sherry and I both monitor daily. So either contact us through the website or through our Facebook page, and we will be happy to get back to anybody and answer any questions that anybody has.
Sherry, I'm sorry, Nora, I was thinking of Sherry, your partner in crime, who is also in the chat room, by the way. We want to thank her so much for being here with us tonight. We've got just a few more minutes, believe it or not, for your segment. Was there anything that you wanted to talk about regarding Hope for Angels that we weren't able to get in so far that's important to you?
We are seriously looking to expand our hospital program. We want to have hospitals across the country that we can bring our artists in to help, you know, bring joy to those kids that are in the hospitals. We're looking for donations for our Christmas program, where we are going to be sending out Christmas packages to all of our children. We're looking to get our 501c as well. And we want to thank, you know, all of our hospitals that we have involved so far. We want to especially thank, you know, our board of directors. We want to thank Ray from SuperCountryHits.com, who has graciously provided our website hosting, and Jenny Weaver, who has completely designed our website. She has been amazing. We want to thank all of our artists and our family and kids that we have involved in the program. And we are looking forward to another fabulous year with Hope for Angels.
Absolutely. It's going to be a...
I just wanted to touch one last thing about the website. Whoever that kid is, Nora, on the front page of the website...
Playing the guitar?
Adorable!
Yeah, I was looking at that, too. I was going to make this thing.
Who's that kid?
I don't know offhand, but I will absolutely find out and let everybody know.
Cute as
Michael,
a button.
Michael, is Shelly with us? Because we can't say goodbye to Nora and not say goodbye to Shelly. She's still with us?
Yeah, she's still on the line. I just wanted to go ahead and quickly before we bring Shelly back, www.hopeforangels.com is where you want to go ahead and go ahead and click on the donations button. But Miss Shelly Wren, my love, you know, I love how I can call you the day before and it's never an issue to go ahead and come on. I love that you're still nice to the little people.
Oh, please. You guys have, you know what thick and thin is. And I'm so glad that thank you for everybody who was requesting a song. And if you like the song, go check out the video on YouTube. I'm all over that. And we do have a lot of great things. And as always, thank you guys for thinking of me and allowing me to share my music and all that you do. You guys bring so much joy to my life. Thank you.
Well,
Shelly, thank you so much.
So kind of her. So kind of the country people.
We want to thank Shelly and all of our other artists and our families that we have involved and our board members. Shelly is one of our board members, and she is one of our artists. And as you guys know, she is just truly an amazing talent.
Well, and Nora, please understand, too, that you're also family here on At Home with Victoria, and anytime you have anything you want to go ahead and get out, we're seconds away from a phone call or an email. So let's work together to go ahead and get this done. This is a fantastic organization, and I'm super proud of you. Super proud of you.
Thank you.
And,
thank you.
Absolutely. Hugs to everybody from your end. But, girl, give me a call if you need me. We're always here.
Love you guys.
Nora, thank you. Love you so much, and thank you so much. Again, everybody, Nora's organization, Hope for Angels, it's a nonprofit organization, so it doesn't matter what area you live in, especially if you know someone who's a musician, artist, an actress, or an actor, turn them on to Hope for Angels, because it is wonderful work that they do. And, you know, what literally just popped into my head was the story that I just saw on the news, and I know Nora and Shelley and all of you guys may have seen it, about the little girl. I don't know if she's from Boston, or I think she's from Boston, Massachusetts, but she is,
right,
I believe, 5 or 6 years old, has a terminal type of form of cancer, which is very rare, but she loves Justin Bieber, and apparently he saw the story on the news about her and flew her and her family to New York on Valentine's Day and spent the entire day there with her and posted pictures and stuff. So, and I was saying that to say, because, you know, this kid is 6 years old, and, you know, she doesn't have long to live. So with that said, you know, I just think that programs like Hope for Angels and all of those nonprofits out there that really cater towards helping kids, you know, it's so, so very important for them to realize their dreams and make those wishes come true.
Absolutely, and give a young youth some peace of mind, too. I mean, everybody's frightened, especially in whatever stage they're going through. I want to make a quick mention out to Miss Sandy from Nebraska up in the chat room. I don't know if Shelley will be at the Southern Women's Expo, but I will ask her. You seem to be very adamant at finding out, so I will personally call her and have her call you with the information on that one. But,
That's because Sandy and so many other people love their Shelley Rand, and, you know, whenever there's expos and all that stuff that go on in within your communities, you know, you want your folks to sort of be there in the house. But listen, so we're going to start our second part of our show, which is dedicated towards the Grammys. Christopher Davis is in the house from G-Man Magazine. This whole thing came about because while the Grammys was on, of course, Michael, everybody's back and forth on Facebook, you know, talking smack and what they like and what they don't like, and Christopher was right in there with them. So Christopher and I got into this little friendly, lovable debate about Nicki Minaj. So I said, well, Christopher, you know, what if we get something together on the air and you come on and we can talk about it and tell me why you love Nicki Minaj so much. So he agreed, and so we decided to do that, but also take it a step further and pay tribute to Whitney Houston with a few folks calling. And all the music tonight by Whitney Houston, by the way, we have to thank Sandy from Nebraska. I was rushing around, Michael, trying to find her songs, and I couldn't find it, and then something popped into my head. If you know Sandy on Facebook, any type of music and pictures, and she's very good with putting video presentations together, I just said, oh, let me ask her. Of course, once I said that in my inbox, I swear I got about 10 songs, and I'm like, you can stop now, and you can stop. So on the other side of this Whitney Houston song, we're going to pick up the conversation and talk about the Grammys, and then we're going to continue to talk about Whitney Houston.
Should stay, I would only be in your way, so I'll go, but I know I'll think of you every step of the way. And That is all I'm taking with me. So goodbye. Please don't cry. We both know I'm not what you need.
Beautiful voice once again of Whitney Houston, who passed away this week. And I'm always trying to figure out which one of her songs are my favorite song. So I said the one earlier was, but then I listened to this one. I think, oh, you know, this one is my favorite song. Michael Kay, just an absolutely just wonderful, wonderful voice.
Yeah, I think my favorite song of all time was that clip in The Bodyguard where she sat with her sister on the back porch of, you know, Kevin Costner's father's thing, and they sang,
yes,
"Yes, Jesus Loves Me." You know what? I can appreciate a good earring with lots of dripping things. I don't mind a dirty guitar in the basement with beer, you know. And I think stripped down versions are always so much more amazing. But yeah, Whitney can do no wrong in my eyes. Seriously, I'm one of those guys that just I didn't have all of her stuff. Her later stuff kind of got a little weird. But classic Whitney will never die, I tell you, Vic.
And speaking of that, let's bring our very good friend into the conversation, editor and creator of G-Man magazine, the one and only Christopher Davis. Hi, Christopher.
Hi, how are y'all doing?
Doing good.
Great.
I think we should give Christopher the clap. What do you think?
Oh, okay, yeah, that sounds good. Christopher.
A little TMZ.
Christopher,
if
you get the
but...
clap, if you get the clap, that means you're really special to us at the show.
Oh, well, I feel very good now.
Even if
well,
you
thanks.
Like Nicki Minaj.
Well, we got to talk a little bit about Whitney first. I got to tell my favorite song.
Go ahead. What is it?
My favorite is a little bit of one of the newer ones, Heartbreak Hotel.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's
that?
Good too.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I remember, I got to tell my little story. I was really young when that song came out. I was probably like 12. maybe 11 or 12. And I used to wake up really early in the morning to watch it on VH1 every morning, like the little video.
Yeah. When you were 12.
I think I was like 10 or 12 in the summer. Yeah, when we were out of school, they used to play it at like 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning on VH1. So, yeah.
I love the fact that you said when you were 12, which must have been seriously. I'm sorry, Vic. Have been at least 10 years ago. I mean, what I love about this guy.
You still look like you're 12. You still look like you're 12 years old, and that's why we love you so much. Christopher has this very boyish look to him. If you've never seen what he looks like, but he is a regular here on At Home with Victoria. So if you've never had the opportunity to check out G-Man magazine, then you are missing a treat. So please go ahead and do that. And Marilyn Bennett, our producer, will post a link inside the chat room for those of you that are interested. But Christopher, so let's talk about the Grammys. So overall, you know, your opinion, did you like it? Did you not? Was it good? Was it bad? What's your thoughts?
I was very impressed. Actually, I usually think the Grammys are quite boring because it just turns into like this strange mix of music, and it gets boring to me. Some people like it. But I thought this year, I thought it was really great. I thought all the performers did pretty good. I really liked Alicia Keys and Bonnie Raitt, the Etta James song they did, Sunday Kind of Love, I think it's called. I was really impressed by that. I thought Rihanna did a great job. I thought that was a lot of fun in Coldplay. I love Katy Perry. And, of course, Nicki Minaj.
All right, let's talk about Nicki Minaj.
I need to know what I was looking at there.
Christopher, explain this to us, because I have to tell you, you know, I am in my 40s, and I like to think, you know, even despite the fact that I'm a journalist and I've been a news anchor for my entire life, that, you know, I kind of consider myself hip, that I sort of understand stuff. I have an open mind. But I have to tell you, I simply do not get her, and she scares me. So what's the deal with her, Christopher?
Well, I will tell you, she came out, it's been about 2 or 3 years ago now, and she did a performance on the VMAs, like the pre-show or whatever, and I was right there with you. I was like, what is this woman doing? I mean, it was weird to me. And then as she got more and more popular, you just hear her songs on the radio constantly. So, you know, sometimes you just get immune to it and you start liking it. Well, I went to see Britney Spears in concert this summer, and she was the opening act for Britney. And I'm telling you what, I mean, she was just so amazing live. I mean, she really was. It was just, I think the weirdness is what I like about her, because she doesn't really care she doesn't appear to care what others think. She just goes out and does her thing, and I like that about her. You know, she's kind of fearless in a way.
Michael?
She seems like it.
I get that. I got that. I'm old.
Mm-hmm.
but what I was looking at is that, especially with your comment, if she would take more time or less time worrying about production, and actually I would suggest some really excellent vocal training, because what I heard didn't match with what I saw. And I don't mean to be that person, to be a Simon Cowell, but I get Gaga, because when I listen to Gaga, at least what I hear is I hear a fantastic voice, even though she wants to dress. Why do people keep dressing up like hams? What is with the net over the face? I mean, I understand that, but
it's done
so many times. It's art. No,
can I say, maybe it's art.
I don't know. Pardon me?
Well,
I
think within the music industry, and, you know, I'm sure we can we're going to also bring some other folks into the conversation. In fact, my very good friend Grover was supposed to call in tonight, but he asked a friend of his, and who I only know through Facebook, who's a journalist, Nikki Mayo. Nikki's going to call in and kind of join in on the conversation. She's a journalist as well. But I think, you know, and I know I don't claim to know much about the music industry, but it appears to me that probably one of the reasons why artists do this is because, you know, there's so many artists out there, so perhaps they need to do something different. They need to try something different in order to differentiate themselves between other artists. So, and perhaps that's a part of it. I don't know. But with us, let me go ahead, Christopher, Michael, and bring Nikki into the conversation, who is a journalist and a friend of my friend Grover. Nikki, thanks so much for being here and joining the conversation tonight.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hi, Nikki.
Good. So what do you think about, well, first of all, what are your thoughts about Whitney Houston?
Oh, gosh. I grew up on her, so that was so hard on me. Just when the word came through, I immediately hit one of my friends who does an entertainment blog. She knows everything. I said, did you hear? Is this correct? She's like, yeah, unfortunately it is, man. I've seen it everywhere. AP broke it, so that validated it pretty much for everyone in the media.
Yeah, did you have a particular favorite song or performance of hers that comes to mind?
Yeah, my very first was always I Want to Dance with Somebody, lip singing in the mirror as a kid with the brush in your hand and everything. She was just so colorful, pretty, gorgeous. I never saw the 17 magazine cover that they talk about, but I remember how Whitney looked right there. And that's where she kind of froze for me for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't think you were the only one dancing to that song in the mirror with that hairbrush. I used a hairspray bottle, but that's just my own thing. Let's go a little bit into Whitney. Last night on the show we had Richard Fagan, who has battled the demon, so to speak, time and time again. But I would like to know your take on industry demons. We all know they're there. We've heard them time and time before. Let's go ahead and start with Nikki. And do you think Whitney could have escaped the demon enough to go ahead and overcome it?
Yeah, she had a chance there. And every interview I've been watching over the past couple of days, all of her loved ones keep saying she was making a comeback. She was just about to do it. But me as a journalist, I'm also listening to that and hearing whenever I go to a homicide scene, people are like, he was just turning his life around. Like, that phrase always makes you cringe because you're like, yeah, but we're mourning now. You don't want to get to that point. Whitney had the resources around her. Unfortunately, she also had maybe one too many enablers around her, too, that allowed for this to continue.
Well, true, and that comes with fame and fortune. But with regard to what you have heard so far, I know the autopsy won't be in for 4 to 6 weeks, but from what you've heard from your interior, did she really just go to the hotel, pop a Xanax, and take a bath and drown? Is that what you're getting?
No, it's actually really hard to say because, I mean, I'm over here in Maryland, so I know I'm not in the entertainment biz, but I've been following like Kelly Carter's coverage of her. Moody's coverage of her in the AP, and you keep hearing the same things over, but it's like no one will say, yes, this is definitely what happened. Even the coroner will not say, yes, this is definitely what happened. We know that Xanax was involved. We know that alcohol, they keep saying she was popping champagne at that party, Kelly Price's party with Clive Davis and Kelly Price's party, excuse me. But no one will say that it was definitely a deadly cocktail that led to Whitney leaving us.
Yeah.
You know, and I just want to throw something there in the mix about the Xanax and that scenario. My husband is actually a doctor and a surgeon, so I kind of get to live around medical stuff. And, of course, one of the questions, my first question that I asked him, I said, well, darling, if you are in the bathtub and you pop Xanax and let's say hypothetically you had some champagne or some wine or a cocktail with it, I said, it would seem to me that, you know, if, in fact, let's say you fall or you go underneath the water, that the body's natural response would be, you know, you would start gurgling and water would get in your mouth and your eyes, and, you know, you would fight it, so you would get up. And that was something that I thought. But, of course, him being a doctor enlightened me, and he says, well, honey, the problem with the Xanax is depending on how many you take, Xanax actually will basically suppress your breathing and basically kind of, in a sense, can knock you out. And then if you add alcohol onto that, he says, you know, he could clearly see a scenario where that could happen and the person just simply doesn't respond and drown. Now, of course, still in my brain, I still don't get that because, you know, if I'm outside in the winter in my swimming pool and I get too much water in, then, you know, I'm going to fight and I'm going to jump up. But, you know, just from the medical community standpoint, he did say that he certainly could see that if it did happen that way, that that could happen.
Now, is there a way to talk about just the way that all of this information came and broke? I mean, I was really impressed with the role that Twitter played in all of this, that the AP, and unlike TMZ, was the one to cover this for once. So normally we hear about this information coming from TMZ. For once, you had somebody that we actually respected. You actually had the publicist from Whitney Houston, like they were quoting her right there, something Foster, I think Kristen Foster is her name, saying that Whitney Houston has died. So if for once, it was like an official information. It wasn't, we had paparazzi outside of the Beverly Hills Hotel. That was interesting.
Right.
Yeah, and even the sensitivity on Facebook and Twitter from her fans, because the fans were, this is the double-edged sword about it, social media, is that if a rumor does spread, because I think that very same day, Keanu Reeves was supposed to have flown into a tree and had died. I don't know if that even came out to be true, because I tell you honestly, I was covering Whitney. I wasn't really worried about Keanu. I thought, well, if it was bad information, but I have no idea. But you have that sensitivity from the fans, I think, that actually goes ahead and buffers, because right after Bobby, her child, the daughter, Bobby Christina
like,
actually
right
had an episode and was toured in, yeah. But Christopher Davis, let's give us your take on what you think, what happened to Whitney.
You know, it's kind of like the same thing that happened with Michael Jackson. I think that we'll never really know the true story. I mean, you don't know what kind of demons this woman was fighting. I mean, you know, having to deal with Bobby Brown for how long? You know, 10, 11, 12 years?
Right.
I just don't think that you really know the demons that were probably still with her. And I kind of agree with what she said, is you always hear that, well, she was turning her life around. Well, that means that she still hadn't turned it around. If she, you know, was turning it around, I don't know. I really liked Whitney Houston. I thought she was a great talent. Unfortunately, she kind of lost a lot of that talent with the drugs and the way her life spiraled out of control. But I think what's really sad is for her daughter, you know, 19 years old and going to have to go on. And you know that poor girl probably has her own problems to deal with growing up in the way that she did. So, I mean, she has
to continue for the brief time that we saw their reality show on television, I just remember thinking Bobby Christina seemed to be more of the parent and the adult within that relationship than her mother and her father. But I want to go quickly to Sandy. Sandy is the one who provided Michael Kay and I the music tonight for Whitney Houston, who's been patiently holding on the air, and she loves Whitney. Sandy, what's your favorite Whitney Houston song?
Girl, I can't even tell you because I love all of them. Like, I am a major Whitney fan. Like, you don't even know. I have every single song. Every single song she's ever sang, every duet. Everything.
And when you first found out, like millions and millions of other people that she had passed away, what was your first reaction?
I thought it was a lie. Like, I was in shock. I thought it was just like, okay, someone made that up. That's a hoax. And when I found out it was real, I mean, I know this sounds stupid, but I was totally bawling. Like, I could not stop crying. And I just...
Well, I think a lot of people
I had this dream, though, Victoria, that, like, I wanted to see her in concert again sometime. I wanted her to get better, and I wanted her to get back up there, you know? I mean, that's what everybody wants when they're a fan of someone. They want them to get back out there. They want them to get help and get back out there. And I always thought that she would. When she came out with that song, I Didn't Know My Own Strength, I thought, yeah, you know, that is an awesome song. And I thought she was going to do it, you know? I really did.
I'd like to go ahead and ask
a question. Go ahead, hold on.
Actually, yeah, okay.
Go ahead, Michael.
Okay, here's the question I would like to know, because I always hear about these stories about the forgiving public, and I'm a diehard fan of Whitney's. I don't have all of her stuff. I loved her. I thought she was a fantastic vocalist. But with you, do you as a fan tend to sympathize exactly with the event itself, and not hold anything against her for her own doing? Do you just absolve her of all of her own participation?
Well, I'll speak to that first, and then I'll let Nikki speak to it, and then Christopher, because I've just brought them back into the conversation. I think probably for me it was the way that I was born and raised. I mean, everybody does. First of all, to me, everyone deserves a second chance because all of us are not without our faults. Second of all, she's a human person. She is human just like I am human. I can never, ever know the amount of pressure that someone like a Whitney Houston is under. I mean, I remember when I had the opportunity when I was a news anchor on Maryland's Eastern Shore, and they have billboards of me splattered all over the place once you got off the Bay Bridge to up in Delaware. I remember what that feeling was like when I would leave the grocery store and look up and see my face on a billboard, and then people would come up to me in the store and people would whisper and say, you know, is that her? And I'm only saying that because I experienced that on a very tiny, tiny scale. So right. I can't imagine to know what it's like to experience that where every single where you go, people are always looking at you and everybody in the world knows you. I'm sure that in itself has pressure. And no, I was a big Whitney Houston fan, but certainly I would not hold her personal life. And in this case, I guess we're talking about her use of drugs and the bad decisions that she made. I would never hold that against her because I would never want anybody to hold anything that I've done wrong in my past against me. Something Sandy said that I definitely think is that I believe is that when people do are fighting their demons and they have issues and stuff, I mean, I'm always the person that's rooting, saying, hey, you know what, you can do this. And there's always that hope within me that I want them to not even necessarily make a comeback, but there's always that hope that I just want them to get themselves better in order so that they can lead a more healthier life. So with that said, Nikki, what are your thoughts on that?
They're human. Anytime we talk about
right.
death, we have to realize that these people are human. I understand that they're artists and that we've gotten this link and this clinging to them. They've been with us through all our lives, it seems. But in the end, they're human. I talked to a woman today who said she's enraged because the fans aren't being really included in the funeral. And I was like, well, it's a homegoing. It's a funeral. You do realize that it was just Whitney and Whitney who the family are regular, everyday people. And I'm
mm-hmm.
pretty sure they're mourning like regular, everyday people. So, the Jacksons welcomed all of us into their lives as they put, you know, Michael to his resting place. But this is a human who has passed. Bad,
mm-hmm.
good, bad is different. She's gone. And we have a lot of linkage to her. It's almost like give the person the respect that you give to the piece and let them be rested in the bed. The media, you know, us evil folks, we're going to do our job. But everyday folks are very forgiving.
I agree. Christopher?
True that.
Yeah.
I agree, but I think it depends on the situation and what the person's done. You know, for Whitney, her situation was very sad because of the drug, you know, abuse. And that's sad for anybody, whether they're a celebrity or not. You know, people might not like this statement, but in Michael Jackson's case, I didn't sympathize with him at all. I didn't feel bad. I mean, I liked his music or whatever, but I didn't sympathize the same way that I would with Whitney Houston. You know, his life was quite a bit different and a lot more controversial in different terms than hers was. So I think I can sympathize with her more than I could in his situation. So I think it depends on the person and what, you know, what their life was like, you know?
Yeah,
good
that,
point.
Yeah, that certainly sounds good. Good point. Michael Kay, where do you think you
know? You know, the whole thing is I understand. Here's the thing I can't figure out. Entertainment industry equals drugs, alcohol, narcissism, false, whatever. It just happens. It depends on how you determine it. I can't imagine what it would be like to be Whitney Houston waking up and having, on the chat room here, having me photographed eating a cheeseburger. Talk about shit no one cares about, you know, but it is the people who drive these media sources is my point. And although Whitney being a fantastic artisan in so many ways, I think it's a really raw deal that in her death, the drug use, it can't be a surprise. seriously. We've seen it from everybody right down the pike. So it depends. I think depends on the artist realizing when they want to get off the line. Not saying that Whitney did this intentionally, but you can't live a good life that long. You know what I mean? I don't mean to be that way, but that's a lot of fame, a lot of fortune, and a lot of things to go through. And I would compare Whitney in dog years. She's like seven times. She's lived seven times longer than we all have. So, you know, would it be wrong in considering that to be, you know, the artist's possibility, so to speak? I mean, it's an optional thinking. She could have eaten well. She could have got off drugs. But quite frankly, it's what happens sometimes. And would you rather grow out being beautiful and young or, you know, the other? I don't know. Am I rambling? I could be rambling.
I was going to say, actually, the first point I got, but then you did kind of lose me. But, you know, the bottom line, I think, is that there's no opinion and there's no comment that any of us can say tonight, whether it's on At Home with Victoria, whether it's with national media, whether it's in the blogosphere, that anything that anybody can say that's obviously going to bring her back. I have been told that Grover, my very dear friend Grover, is on the line. Grover, if you are on the line, is it possible that you or Nikki can just give me your last four digits of your number? We've got the phones have been lighting up. I don't want to get the wrong person on the air. So if you can put that somehow inside the chat room, that would be great. Then we can bring Grover into the conversation. And many of you know Grover because he has been on News Crunch before on At Home with Victoria when we have talked about different various topics. So while we actually wait for Grover, I say we play another Whitney Houston song. We still have Christopher Davis on the line from G-Man Magazine. Nikki Mayo is with us tonight. She is a journalist herself, and Sandy, who is one of Whitney Houston fans, who provided us with the Whitney Houston music tonight, is also on the line. So let's listen to another Whitney Houston song. another beautiful song by Whitney Houston. Michael Kay and I are here with you tonight on At Home with Victoria. We were talking earlier about a nonprofit organization, Hope for Angels. Second half of the show, we've been talking about the Grammys and also paying a tribute to Whitney Houston. Michael, I know you know my friend Grover, who I had the chance to work with in TV.
I do.
And he is now at a television station in Tampa. So let's bring Grover in to the conversation, because I know he's a big Whitney Houston fan. Hi, Grover.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Hey,
good,
Grover.
Good. Just a little bit busy tonight here in Tampa.
So I know you didn't get a chance to hear a lot of the conversation. First of all, thanks for having Nikki call in tonight. She's been super on the show, and we appreciate her time and her energy and her opinion as a journalist on what she has to say. What is it like for you? Because I know you're a pretty big Whitney Houston fan.
I am. Well, you know, it was devastating. I think you actually commented on my Facebook when I said, please don't let this be true. And sure enough, I don't know, 2 or 3 seconds later, CNN got confirmation that she had actually passed away. Still to this day, like it's shocking. You know, today I was at the gym running, and I'm seeing her hearse pull up to her church where she used to live in North New Jersey. It's just mind blowing. You know, I went through it with Michael Jackson, two people that I grew up with, and they're both gone. So it's definitely interesting. I will say that.
Well, and you know, Michael Kay is with us. Go ahead, Michael.
Grover, are you going to be able to go ahead and attend? The funeral now has moved from public to private. So
exactly.
Are you able to actually go ahead and attend?
No, I won't be.
Well, and I know that there was some a little bit of feathers, I guess I want to say, that were ruffled, because I know there were so many people who wanted it to be public and to be at a large arena. But her mother, Sissy, wanted her to be laid to rest and to have the service at her church where she grew up in. And I was kind of thinking about that, because I know all too often, especially when you're somebody like Whitney Houston or Michael Jackson, who are in the public eye, that we as the public, you know, sort of expect that there's going to be a big service and, you know, everybody can sort of come, or, you know, some of the public is able to come there. But, you know, I really gave this some thought, and I thought, you know what, you know, Sissy Houston, good for you that you want that ceremony to be private.
Later on this evening, there was a report that came out that we reported today in our 6 o'clock that her funeral will be broadcast live, and you can actually stream. They're going to be streaming it online, and then some stations, particularly like CNN, all the major networks will be carrying it. So it will be broadcast, but, you know, folks won't be able to go there and pay their last respects to Whitney Houston. So that actually just came out within the
okay,
past
good.
Hour
I didn't hear that. Great.
Yeah. Well, where do you think the internment's going to be? I mean, where actually will she be held? Will she be in a monastery up in Newark?
Oh, that's a very good question. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the
burial is private, and that information, I don't think any of us actually know that yet.
Yeah.
Because you better believe once that information hits out there, you know, can you imagine the amount of people that will storm that place and just trying to go there and see it and be a part of it?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
That would be crazy. Well, you know, we also added another story, since I'm such a Whitney Houston fan. Today, the LA Times and I believe it's another KTLA were reported in that folks can actually start sleeping and taking baths in the same room that she passed away in. And they're pretty much booked up until next year with people wanting to
live
in the hotel room. It's interesting how it's actually falling, how it's actually working out. The fans that are actually going there, spending the nights, making this hotel packed just to stay in that same room. So, yeah, but I can tell you that it's $3.99 a night. So if you guys want to go, you're more than welcome to.
No, that's kind of creepy for me. I think
kind of morbid, Vic. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah,
no.
No, I'm glad you mentioned that because this is all information I didn't know. And, you know, you're right there, I'm sure, in the newsroom. And Grove is a journalist himself. And you've got all that information at the touch of your fingers right now. So I appreciate that because, like I said, I did not know that. But let's bring Nikki back into the conversation. Nikki,
hey.
So Grover's with us tonight.
Yes, finally. Yes.
I know.
He's my favorite.
And listen, I wanted to ask you guys, and then we're going to bring Christopher back into the conversation just as journalists. I just found out, Nikki, through Grover, that they're actually going to stream a live video. So the national networks will be picking that up so that all of us can actually see in our homes. And I didn't honestly think that Sissy Houston, her mother, was going to do that. So I think that's wonderful that she made the decision to do that and to share that ceremony with all of us. But and just you guys' opinion as journalists. So if it turns out, let's say, in fact, that there were all these different types of drugs and stuff that were involved, and I'll ask you first, Grover, do you think that would anyway continue to tarnish that part of her reputation, or people will just shake it off and it would just be that was Whitney also a part of her?
You know, the same thing. Yeah, that's the same thing that happened with Michael Jackson. He died of prescription drug overdose or whatever you want to call it. Dr. Murray was giving him more drugs than what his body could handle. It's a part of the lifestyle. It's a part of who those folks were. As you can see, the iTunes and her record sales have quadrupled, I think they said, since she passed, since she died, what day was
really?
It, Saturday?
Yeah.
Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah,
so, I mean, her record albums or her records are selling, it's phenomenal sales on her records, even after her death. So I think folks will actually push it off and say, forget it, who cares? Whitney Houston was the best out there, and she'll always be the best. So I don't think it's anything that we have to worry about with even though they do say that there were prescription drugs found in the hotel, it big deal. So
Nikki, what are your thoughts?
I say the same thing, big deal, but it really does come down to we're so used to the artsy, the fantastically gifted, having a very troubled issue when it comes to just controlled substances across the board. We're just kind of used to that now. We just had Cadillac Records come out and watch Etta James suffer with a problem. So we're kind of used to our artists having that dark side. But right now people are mourning. In fact, I don't know if you guys saw in the chat room the PSA that I put out for my friends that I knew were even more hardcore fans than me. I told them to stay away from the TV for about 5 days.
Right.
Just because you're not ready.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, really,
they're
really good advice.
They know she had a problem.
And
yeah,
Christopher Davis is joining us. Christopher, you actually mentioned something inside the chat room that I thought was pretty interesting in you. I think you mentioned something about different artists out there who actually perhaps had, whether it was a drug or an alcohol problem, but they actually overcame it and went on to be successful.
Yes. I would just say to your point, you were talking about Whitney real quick, is, you know, I think that people can get past it and can look at the greatness of Whitney Houston, but it's also good for us as people and as journalists to make a point to say, you know, this wasn't okay, this was bad, you know, and this, you know, ended her life ultimately. And to make light of that, I don't think is good to do at all, and just say, well, that's just part of the lifestyle. Well, you know, we have to be better than that and encourage people that this is not great. But I mean, there are, you know, many people out there that are in public eye that have had to overcome, you know, being surrounded in this all the time, and it has a lot to do with the kind of people that they are surrounded by. You know, no one really cares about them, it doesn't seem. So
right,
people like Drew Barrymore, she was she's a great example. Drew Barrymore, she, you know, she was a child star, and she overcame all of this, and now she's, you know, doing very well, it seems.
She did. Also, Britney Spears overcame
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that was what I was going to say is, you know, that's, I understand, like, the Whitney thing. I love Whitney. I mean, I really do, and more of mine is, like, the Britney and Madonna. That's what I grew up on, so I would feel exactly the same way, you know, if something happened to one of them. But you look at Britney and you look at her family and you say, your family has to step in sometimes, and her dad did. And her father saved her life. And, you know, some of these other people, they just don't, unfortunately, they don't have people around them that care as much.
Well, so. see, on that point, I would have to disagree with you about perhaps other people don't have people around them that care as much. I think there's a difference between people that have the quote-unquote handlers around them who tend to seem to be their yes men and women versus people that actually have family around. I mean, I know for a fact in just talking to different journalists within the entertainment community, trust me when I tell you, her mother, you know, cared very much about her. But, you know, so, but if you're at that point where you're not listening to your mother and people that are actually caring about you, then that's another story. But I would certainly never say that Whitney didn't have anybody around her who didn't care enough about her. That I would certainly disagree with you on that note.
I'm not saying that she didn't have anyone around her that cared. But, you know, just think about, like, your mother or my mother. My mother would step in regardless of how old I was. You know, and I'm not
her mother did step
she
in.
Didn't try.
Yeah, yeah, but her mother did. I mean, her mother, her mother, from what I know, did step in numerous times. But part of that has to be, you know, I don't care how many times. And I only know this as covering this as a journalist. I don't care how many times your parents, your brother, your sister, or anybody who steps in. If you are the person that is suffering from whether it's drugs or alcohol, whatever your vice may be, if you are not ready for that, then I don't care how many people are going to step in. Ultimately, it comes down to you being ready to want to clean yourself up.
I don't know. I kind of disagree. But that's fine.
Ooh.
Yeah, I disagree.
I love the dissension.
I think you can look at Britney. I think she's a great example of that. She was forced. She had no choice. They committed her, and her father still has control over her finances, of her business. And, you know, it's helped her. It saved her life, you know. I mean, she didn't have a choice. She wasn't ready. You know, but
okay, let's bring Grover and also Nikki back into the conversation. Nikki or Grover, did you guys have anything that you wanted to talk about what Christopher said?
Yeah, Christopher, you're actually talking about an 18-year-old girl, Britney Spears. I mean, her parents are going to take care of her. They're going to make sure that she has the best out there. They're going, you know, her parents are still her guardians. However, Whitney Houston, what did she marry Bobby Brown? Was she in her 30s?
Yeah, I think she was in her 30s, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a 30-year-old woman, let's say late 20s, early 30s-year-old woman. She married Bobby Brown. 2 years into the marriage, I don't know, there's something that happened. They became addicted to laced marijuana. If she wasn't ready for it to be cleaned, she went to drug counseling. She committed herself into rehab. She came out. She did it again. She was arrested in Hawaii for drug paraphernalia, carrying marijuana. I mean, all those things played into effect, and the back issue was Bobby Brown, which we all know. That's why she divorced him. And her mother was the key player in that divorce. Her mother probably said, hey, listen, you need to stop. You know, you need to divorce Bobby. Get rid of this TV show. That's why she didn't do the second season. That's why they canceled the show. It's you're talking about an older woman, an older person who has, you know, she doesn't have to listen to anyone else. You know, yes, she may take criticism, or she may listen to other people and say, oh, well, maybe I should do that or maybe I shouldn't. But she's still going to make her own decisions, if that makes sense.
Well, and that's what I said. I think it gets down to. And that's what I said. I think when it comes to, you know, and this, I think, even despite of we're having this conversation, take Whitney Houston out of the picture, just in my experience in covering these kinds of stories, and I've talked to parents and grandparents and brothers and sisters and kids and all sorts of things, but it really does seem to me, until that person that's dealing with that problem makes the decision, whenever that day, time, or hour comes, whenever they make that decision for themselves, even despite, you know, an intervention in family and them helping them, until they reach a core that they make that decision that they want to stop, you know, it's almost nearly impossible for somebody to try to force them. Something, I think, has to happen with inside yourself that you basically say, you know what, enough is enough. Nikki, what were you going to say?
I was always wondering, like, who really thought this was a good idea? Whitney had been around so long. I felt like she could have had better public relations representation, somebody just to kind of wrangle a little bit better and say, I don't think a reality show with you and Bobby is a good idea. I don't think you doing an interview with Diane Sawyer is a good idea. I don't, you know, there just needs to be somebody saying, you know what, Whitney, not right now. Maybe later, but right now, because a lot of those foibles that we've seen, like we've seen YouTube videos of her not being able to perform her 5-octave range, you just kind of want somebody to just pull her back and say, no, this is not good for your image right now. And I'm like wondering, where was this person?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, I think that gets back to those men and women.
Let me chime in here for a second, too. You also are dealing with an artist. You're dealing with an artist of multi-Grammy level. She, as much as she wants to go ahead and have power of her own destiny, people are guiding her. You all must know what it's like to work with an artist. Or, you know, I've worked with hairdressers for 25 years. Everybody thinks they're fantastic. It is the ego that drives. It's such a delicate dance when you're actually dealing with these people. And, you know, you have Whitney, adored by millions. Thank God she was before Facebook, because imagine the amount of nut jobs who would have emailed her on Facebook and stuff. I mean, really. But it's that thing where, of course, you would turn to drink, don't you think?
Yeah. Seriously.
Well, I would like to think that, I would like to think that, and in fact, Marilyn Bennett and I just had this conversation yesterday as we were kind of prepping and talking about the show. I would like to think that, you know, no matter what level I get to as a journalist, whether it's high, low, medium, big, whatever, that's not a concern. But whatever level I get to, that I would always like to think that I will always have people around me, whether it's my family, fellow journalists, or close friends that can pull my coattail and say, you know what, Victoria, that's not a good idea. I mean, so I just, but there again, I don't know what it's like being at a level like a Whitney Houston where, you know, perhaps these people are concerned about their jobs and their income and what relationship is going to happen versus not happen if they don't say yes, or, you know, if they don't say no. But Nikki, your point is well taken. I've always thought, too, you know, where were the people around when these decisions were made about a reality show that was just simply an absolute disaster. So, you know, I mean, I think all of that just makes you wonder, of course.
It was so bad. It was such a train wreck. And it wasn't a Jersey Shore ha-ha train wreck. It was a bad, bad train wreck. And you're just like, but Whitney, you're killing my cover girl. You're killing my, you know, singing in the mirror. You're killing it. You're really not doing a good job. The image, because think about it. Someone said, singers today don't dress like Whitney did. I'm like, and you're right. People wore clothes back in the 80s and the 90s. So, like, the elegant gowns, the hair done up, Whitney just, they just killed it with that show. That show is just like, ooh, go away for a while. When she came back and she had on, what song is it, what video is that where she has, like, the white flowing dress on? It's one of her, like, most recent songs that she had. And that's, like, the picture that they're using for her memorial, like, her arms are extended. Whatever song that was, whatever video that was classic Whitney with smooth hair, smooth disposition, looking so elegant. So to that reality show, I wanted to just shake her PR people. Like, who said this was a good idea?
Right, and whoever said that should be fired. Listen, guys, speaking of being fired, all of us are going to be fired in about 6 minutes because we have got to get off the air. But Christopher, tell everyone where we can find G-Man Magazine and continue to follow you.
You can log on online. It's www.gmanmagazine.com. And we'll be on the Apple App Store for iPad starting in March. It'll be our first transition, so we'll have subscriptions and all of that. So that's very exciting. I just have to say something really, really quick. Jennifer Hudson did such a great job at the Grammys. We didn't talk about that. But she did wonderful job.
Yeah.
So, made me proud.
Amazing job.
Yeah. Christopher, we love you. Thank you so much for trying to help us explain Nicki Minaj. I still don't get her, but I will continue to defer to you on things on this matter as, you know, you cover and do this stuff. So, we love you and
you.
Hope to hear.
I told you I had to give you.
And hope to hear from you soon. Nikki, this is your first time on At Home with Victoria. We want to thank you so much for being here. Where can my listeners and fans follow you and all of that good stuff?
They can always follow me on Twitter. I'm Nikki Mayo News, just straight there on Twitter, so you can find me there.
Nikki,
nice to meet you. Find me on Facebook, baby.
Before you leave the chat room, if you could post that your link on Twitter inside the chat room, that would be great.
Oh, sure.
Michael, I'm sorry. You go ahead.
No problem. I thought this was a fantastic show. I mean, it was good understanding what Nicki Minaj was actually all about. I may have had no further information, but it's good to know that she's a quality. And love Grover, love Nicki, and it's been a great show.
Grover,
yes.
We're not done. We have to say goodbye to Grover. Grover, you're still here. So you got any big stories going on in Tampa?
Yeah, we're actually, we've been breaking with it all evening. There was a local businesswoman that was killed in Bangkok. She went to Bangkok with her to meet her boyfriend, and he killed her over there. So so we have a reporter covering that tonight. We had a brush fire. I don't know if you heard about that brush. There was a brush fire down here 2 weeks ago that caused a humongous accident. Actually, horrific accident. I think 11 people were killed. So there was a brush fire here today again, but they had shut down the interstate. So we're just working on a few things, you know, here and there, murder trials left and right. Same old Florida.
Regular news
Florida
stuff.
News. Yeah. Regular news.
Regular news stuff. Grover, listen, thank you so much for calling in, and thanks for having Nikki call in. I appreciate that, and I'll talk to you
of
soon.
Course.
Love you, Grover. Take care.
And, Michael Kay, a great, great show tonight. We talked about Hope for Angels, the first half of the show, a nonprofit that pairs artists, actors, actresses together with younger people that are suffering from terminal ill diseases and also who are just chronically sick to basically help make some of their dreams come true. And the second part, of course, we talked about the 54th Grammy Awards, spent a lot of time also talking about Whitney Houston. Great show, Michael.
Absolutely. Honey, it was nice having you back. I did you have a good Valentine's Day?
I know. Yes, I did. I had a great Valentine's Day. The doctor took me out to dinner. I got my fireplace, believe it or not, for my bathroom. Yes, I'm a spoiled little brat. I got a fireplace in my bathroom that I'm very, very happy about. Once I get it up and running, I'll take some pictures and video and post on Facebook so you guys could see. Because you guys know I redid my bathroom starting in August. And the fireplace was the last thing that needed to go in. So that was my Valentine's gift. And I finally got my membership to Gold's Gym. I've turned into a crazy person who works out 2 times a day. So I finally joined Gold's Gym in my community. So I had a great, great Valentine's Day. How about you and Steve?
We had a great thing. We had a meal. We burped, and I did laundry. It's fantastic. But I'm pretty excited, too. I'll be in New York on Monday covering the Indie Soap Awards with all of our favorites from Pretty and from the Bay and everything. So I made all the arrangements, and really happy to announce that Colby Cole will be doing the filming of the event. So we'll have live video of Kobe Cole singing live in the hotel room, which is really great.
And also, if you could do all of your fans and At Home with Victoria listeners a favor this year, please take some behind-the-scenes pictures so that we can see what it looks like and post to Facebook. Please, please do that this year.
I will. I promise. Now I have help.
I know, because
so
you're so bad. Yeah, I mean, you're so bad with the whole picture thing. I just want to shake you. But we're excited that you will be in the Big Apple in New York representing At Home with Victoria as a correspondent on the red carpet, and I can't wait to hear more about that. So we're going to end on a Whitney Houston song, and we want to thank Sandy again for providing the music. We want to thank Marilyn Bennett. We also want to thank Shannon and Nora and everybody who is with us tonight inside the chat room. God bless everybody.
Been listening to At Home with Victoria, a popular news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Plus, download the show on iTunes as a free podcast and like us on Facebook. Tune in again next time for At Home with Victoria with your host, Victoria Gaither.